Welcome to That Makes Total Sense, a podcast dedicated to exploring God's generosity and justice. I'm Alexis Busetti, a Christian aiming to ask good questions and encouraging you to do the same. Every one of us is wired by God to live out generosity and justice, but the how sometimes eludes us. That Makes Total Sense is a way for us to get together, posture ourselves as learners, and challenge one another to practice generosity and justice in a tangible way every day. So you're pointing again.
I'm pointing again, yeah.
You're pointing again because you don't want me to say that we just went through this whole little thing that was really fun and then you took it away.
Take 23.
But you're the producer, so that's your prerogative.
Yeah, well, I get to do those things and no one knows, but behind the scenes I get to edit.
You're just going
to... All the good stuff out.
You're just going to cut it all out.
Cut it all out.
I was going to start this episode by saying, I'm so excited because I get to interview my best friend today.
Yay.
Which is kind of what I'll go ahead and say. But yes, my best friend slash husband slash editor and producer of the podcast. Welcome, Dr. Seth Busetti.
It's good to be here. Thank you for finally letting me have a microphone. Usually I get my hand slapped if I get anywhere near it.
Watch out, because this episode may end the same way.
That's right.
We may just cut
this
it.
This will be like the last time I get the microphone.
This will be the last time you get the microphone. The reason that we're doing this is because I thought it would be fun, and you agreed. I mean, you agreed to come on, but I thought it would be fun to record something together, kind of a behind the scenes-ish kind of thing, because this is episode 300 of the podcast.
300, that's right. That's a lot.
That's crazy.
300 is a lot of episodes.
I mean, for us, yeah, 300 is a lot of episodes.
Yeah, that's like, what, 6 years?
No, it'll be 6 years in September.
Wow. Okay. Well, congratulations to you.
And you.
And you.
Okay, so I do have a list of questions. I have notes and a little bit of a list of questions. I'm going to start not with the one that our daughter told me to start with.
Well, normally you actually have like real guests on.
Well, you're a real guest.
Yeah, but I mean like people who wrote a book or you know, publicly speak about some topic that people are interested in. Well, so this is not normal.
This is not, well, there's a lot of things that are not normal. This is not normal, but I'd say you have written and published a lot of things and you publicly speak about a lot of things, just nothing that I am kind of maybe versed in. I used to say I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. And I'm definitely not in your actual area of expertise. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. But also, I don't know how to talk about the things that you publicly speak about. So it wouldn't be a very entertaining or interesting episode.
Yeah, no one has ever asked if I was going to talk about my kind of stuff on the podcast. It's never come up.
Are there podcasts, geology podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you listen to them?
No.
Not a single one.
Well, I mean, I have. Like, I've listened.
You have. You have listened to a geology podcast.
Yeah, but it's generally not like what I... When I'm going for a podcast, it's not the content I'm looking for. But yeah, there are people that are doing like work-related podcasts that are about geology, sure.
So you're out on a run and you don't choose a geology podcast.
No. But they do have them, so.
That feels kind of sad to me, a little bit.
Sad that I'm not doing one?
Well, that you're not listening to them.
No, I'm not listening. Anyway. But I very much appreciate the people that are doing them.
I'm grateful, but yeah. I don't know enough about geology to have a podcast about it. So we're not going to talk about that today. But you do, you said, you know, have people on who write and talk and speak and stuff. And you do those things, just not about any of the stuff that this podcast is about. You're behind the scenes in this podcast. And at the end of every episode, you are listed as music. Oh, there's new music coming out with this episode, isn't there?
Yes. Episode 300 has brand new music.
Ooh, that wasn't even on the list. Talk about the music.
Well, I hope people like the music. So we, you know, instead of like stealing music or buying music, we do
instead
our best.
Instead of stealing it. Instead of pirating.
Instead of pirating, instead of using AI to generate music using stolen material from other famous artists, we try to make our own here. So all of our music is...
And we is the royal we. It's you.
Yeah, it's me. But this one is actually kind of fun because our 13-year-old son, Boaz, who is very good at music.
Very good.
Very good at piano. Yes. Very good at all things digital. Yes. Plays a little bit of guitar. He has helped out. And so he helped do on our kind of our digital studio here. He did the drum beat, a lot of the drum beat.
Can I say he laid the beat? That's what I want to say.
Yeah, he laid the beat. It's not. Yeah, he was the mix master.
This is awesome.
Yeah, and then he also helped set up some of the kind of the synth sounds, the organ sounds. So it was. He calls it a collab. It's a collab.
That's what they do.
So he and I did a collab, but
a father son collab.
Yeah, but we do the music again. So I hope people like it, and if not, just fast forward through it. It's totally fine.
That's true. I mean, that's true. So I was gonna say normally at the end. You're in the, like, in the outro, like, music, podcast, production, editing, everything by Seth Busetti.
Yeah.
That's all you.
Yeah, so normally I do the, I take the, you know, the stuff that you record, you do it on Zoom. So we're going to tell people some of the behind-the-scenes things. If you wondered, we are an indie podcast, right? So we do it all in-house. We do it in-house, and we do it on the cheap, and we enjoy doing that. But that gives us pretty much complete control. So if you think it's really great,
I feel like one of the girls would be like mwahaha and do like their little hand, like their little finger gestures when you said complete control.
Yeah, there's no like podcasting network or there's no radio sponsors or there's nobody who's going to tell us that our content is unlistenable or that the way we produce it is really hard to hear. So if it's really bad, you have one of two people to blame, and they're both here in the room today.
Okay, now I want to get to some of the questions. One of them is, I'm wondering, because sometimes people, like, if I say, it's weird now because we're almost at 300, this will be 300 episodes when this airs, and sometimes that comes out of my mouth and it feels weird, and then occasionally when I'm just chatting with people about, you know, like, what we do or hobbies or whatever, and someone will be like, podcasting, like, how'd you get into that? And I won't share my answer right now. It usually starts with something like, it's not like this is something I wanted to do. Like, this wasn't like, you know, a long time dream of mine or something. I feel like I kind of fell into it in some ways. But I won't share my long answer. But I am curious about your answer. Like, if someone's like, podcast, what in the world? Like, what's your version of like the origin story of this podcast for you?
If I remember correctly, and so
I will correct.
Yeah, I may be mixing up some facts. At the time, we were doing some. We had a little side gig where we were doing financial coaching stuff, and so Alexis was meeting with clients, and I was helping writing materials and keeping the website up and stuff like that. And so we were creating some content for that, and some of the content was stuff where you would talk, you'd record a video or you'd record something, and then we'd post that content. And one of our friends had come to you at some point and said, I could just listen to you talk forever. Like, I don't like this stuff at all. Like, I don't like the money stuff you guys are talking about, but I could listen to your voice forever. You should start a podcast. And I think that sometime around that is when we're like, well, I mean, we could. And I said, well, I mean, I've got recording stuff. Like, I've got microphones. I've got some software that we can use. We can figure out how to do that. If you're interested, we can do that. So I think that's kind of what the story looked like, was we were putting out a little bit of material for this other side business. And one of our friends had said that she could listen to you talk about just about anything, right?
Yeah, it was similar. All of that's true. I had been on one or two podcasts that as a guest that someone else had put out. And I think what I remember her saying is, I don't really care to listen to anything about money, and I don't listen to podcasts, but I could listen to you talk about money on a podcast. Like, it was like, these are two things that I really don't care about. Like, I'm not a podcast listener. And I don't care anything about money, like, to, you know, to hear about that. But I could just listen to you talk, which was very kind. It was a very kind thing for her to say, but it was also like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess we could. And at the time, and I still feel that way a little bit, I'm like, I mean, it's just like the blog of right now, right?
But if you think of the time period, that was
almost, 2019.
Yeah, almost 6 years ago. So that's pre-COVID.
Yeah. It was right around this time in 2019. It was about 6 years ago, right?
And
now.
And that was when podcasts had been out for a long time before that, but that's when they were really starting to pick up. And at that time, it was really before everybody had a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had them,
but it wasn't. It hadn't really peaked out. Like, it hadn't really saturated yet. So
maybe
we kind of got in a little bit early enough that it didn't feel like everyone was doing one. Why don't we just do one too? So
yeah.
I think that made it kind of for us not feel like, I don't know, everyone's doing one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. And I knew at the time, like I said, I had been guest on a couple of podcasts, so I knew a couple of podcasters. And I think that is where some folks who were getting in, and then it was like, a lot of people maybe were dipping their toes in the podcasting water. Maybe that's how I would frame it, kind of how I remember it. So like, I think at that point, like if you were to look at catalogs, you'd probably have a lot that had maybe like 30 episodes or 6 episodes or, you know, 18 episodes. And then people are kind of like, I don't know if I'm really into this. I don't know if this is really me, you know, whatever reason, kind of people got into it. And then they're like, maybe not.
Yeah. Then people were kind of starting to think like, oh, this is like a side gig also. Maybe I could get some money off this. And I think, yeah, a lot of people around that time were like, oh yeah, you just get a few sponsors, you put it on the internet,
yeah, sure.
And then you watch your bank account explode.
Right. That's what our kids think about YouTubers.
Yeah. YouTube. Anyone who puts anything on YouTube,
the money just pours in. It does not pour in for us.
Thankfully, as an indie podcast, we don't make any money from it, but we also don't worry about that. So we are fully free to do things whether or not people would pay for it.
It's a fun hobby.
Yeah, it's a fun hobby.
And I think that's what I like to hear you say, is that it's a fun hobby. Because it's super fun for me, but no one would... It wouldn't ever get out if it weren't for you.
Well,
so I appreciate it.
Well, thanks, yeah. It is a fun hobby.
Okay, so now I'm gonna skip our daughter's question and come back to it. What I want to know...
I'll interrupt just a second because she kind of gave me, Alexis, you kind of gave me a few things you wanted to ask. And I want to just say the last episode that I just finished producing.
Yes.
With Philip and Substance Podcast is kind of like the opposite of this, where he's asking you similar questions. Like, what was your favorite podcast or what do you like about this? And so if people like, so there's kind of like a part two of that one.
Oh, okay. I guess you could look at it that way. Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I forgot because I recorded with Philip a while back.
Yeah.
Which is also some of the behind the scenes stuff is like sometimes these things get recorded like 2 months, 3 months before they come out. Sometimes it's the week before, depending on what the scheduling looks like. Okay, that's cool. So what were you wanting? You want to say the question that you want me to ask you next?
No. I would just say like if people like, because you're just about to ask me questions and that's not normally how the podcast goes. But the one that we just released or are going to release this weekend that I just finished stitching together.
Right. It will be $2.99.
Yeah, $2.99 is going to be kind of like this, just with you on the other end of the
questions. Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Okay. One is, in general, for you as a listener. So it's funny, sometimes you have said, oh my goodness, yeah, your podcast is great. I've literally listened to every single episode. And then that's kind of a ba-dum-tsh, you know, because of course you produce every episode.
All the way through, yeah.
All the way through. No fast forwarding.
On 1X speed.
No skipping. On 1X. That's right. So anyway, I feel really privileged and blessed that, you know, I have someone who listens to every single episode all the way through on 1X speed. But I want to know for you, and it would be different for everyone. So this, you know, don't get it twisted. It's not like this is the answer. But I'm just curious for you as a listener to this podcast or to other ones in general. And I'll start by saying this. When we very, very first started the podcast, we were chatting about it, brainstorming. And one of the things you said that has stayed with me is you said, I think it'd be cool if the podcast was kind of like the listeners getting to eavesdrop on you having coffee with your guests.
Yeah.
And that has kind of stuck with me, but that's pretty broad. And so so I appreciate that. That's kind of stuck with me. But I want to hear from you as a listener. What for you, either this podcast or others, could be others, what makes for like a really great conversation as a listener, because it's different when you're actually engaging in it, you know, like you're actually at coffee with someone and you're having a conversation, those answers might be different. But what makes a good conversation, for a great conversation for you when you're listening?
Okay, so yeah, and that's because, I mean, I don't, with there's probably only a handful of guests that I suggested, hey, you might, you know, interview them, or you might do this. And so there's a few, but for the most part, I don't have anything to do with the pre-selection of the content, that after editing. Yeah. But not before the content. So a lot of this as a listener, I'm kind of like fly on the wall, like, and you can imagine you're sitting down, you know, for coffee or for breakfast at your house or something. And two people are engaging in a conversation and they don't mind it that you're there. And you're like, oh, what are you guys talking about today? And you're like, oh, we're talking about Victorian purity culture. And you're like, oh, I don't know much about that. You know, mind if I sit in? And they're like, yeah, whatever. And you don't.
So
you're
like, KSP drop. From the KSP. Episode.
Yeah, yeah, from you guys. So yeah. You might like, oh, so so Karen Swallow Pryor and Alexis are going to sit and talk about Victorian literature and things like that. And you're like I don't know much about that, but I wouldn't mind sitting in. And so you sit down for an hour and they don't mind that you're there and you're drinking your coffee and you learn a little something, or you're kind of like, I don't know, these people are crazy. But that's kind of what I envision, I think from the beginning, that maybe the strength of kind of your conversation style would be is, yeah, sit down and have coffee with someone and talk about some topic that you're both interested in. And maybe a few people would be interested in, putting on their podcast channel and listening.
Okay, so this will be episode 300. We have had only a handful of replays, which has just been really incredible. Tons of people have been super generous with their time and their energy and their effort in talking with me. And I want to know, 300's a lot to think back through. So the best you can, what were some of the conversations that, I don't know, really stood out to you, that were just a good listen, that you just enjoyed, ones that you learned something? 300 episodes in as the producer, what were some of the ones that were like standout episodes for you?
Yeah. And there's a lot of variability, a lot of variation and variability in the content and sort of the thematic stuff. And as we got, access to different guests or our circle changed, whatever, you had a little bit more access. So, but I think the ones that I like a lot are kind of true to the name. And we say that makes total sense. And that makes total sense as a, as sort of a trademark thing. I don't think it means that you listen to this and now I agree with what you or the guests are saying. I don't think that's the point, is to say,
right,
I didn't understand this and now I am fully in understanding and now we're on the same team. I don't think that's the thing. I think the impact for me is, here's someone who has spent a lot of time, maybe they're a professor, maybe they're a writer, but they've researched something. They're professional in some area and they spend a lot of time in some area. And it's an area where there's kind of on the Venn diagram overlap. And that overlap is generosity and justice and faith related issues. And so we say, okay, well, we like those things and you like those things too. And so then the guest comes in and kind of outlines, whether they're summarizing their book or whether they're talking about their professional work, they give some clues into why they do what they do or why they think what they think. And then you walk away from it at the end, and whether or not you agree, what makes total sense is, like, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I see what you're getting at. So,
sure.
So when I say, the guests that I think for me are kind of the most impactful are the people that I'm like, oh yeah, like, okay, I see why you would say that. We replayed one a few weeks ago, and it was Sam Wan.
Ah,
right?
Sam Wan.
Yeah. But I use
that Sam, was producer's choice, I think.
But I use that one as an example because I interact with Sam, every now and then on social media, and I think probably if we lived in the same town, maybe we'd go get coffee and hang out. Maybe not. But I think that would be kind of fun. But I don't think we're kind of necessarily coming from the same theological construct. I don't think we necessarily agree on those, but Sam's a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, and that's not necessarily my vein of theological thinking. But when he explains sort of his vision for justice, his vision for being able as people of faith, as Christians, to use that subject matter and that inspiration to address racial issues, I can see where you're coming from, and I see what work you're trying to do in your community. So that's an example of one that we just posted. You mentioned Amy Jo Levine.
That
was when you guys talked about in 299, and that was one of my favorite ones too, because I really like.
You are a big AJ fan.
Well, yeah, I've read a number of her books, and I've listened to some of the public lectures, and I really like her content. She's a Jewish New Testament scholar who is not a Christian, not a Messianic Jew. She says
she's a regular Jew.
Yeah, regular a regular Jew. But she knows a lot about New Testament. She teaches
right
at the university level, and
right. She's at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and being able to understand, well, why would someone who's Jewish but does not believe in the Christian theological foundation of why Jesus is important to Christians, that doesn't resonate with her, but she still is very, very interested in Jesus and very interested in the relationship between Jews and Christians, both in the first century and today in our communities. And that, that's a good example of an interview where, like, oh yeah, like I can see why this is important, or I can see why maybe changing some of our language or changing some of our expectations is really important. And so I think, AG's interview is a great example of, she doesn't come to the same theological conclusion as maybe a lot of our listeners do, but she's really interested in a lot of the same topics.
Yeah.
A lot of the same characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun one. Mm-hmm. She's a really, really gifted teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And what was the other one? You just mentioned his name, and this is one that I like to talk about a lot. The historian guy who's talking about the mainline denominations in Christian nationalism.
Right, we were talking about that this morning. I think that's Brian Kaler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. That one's kind of true to the podcast name. That makes total sense of... A lot of our current dialogue about Christian nationalism, about certain types of conservative Christian trying to basically use the government to accomplish their theological vision, and then when they have access to that power, being pretty forceful about it. So this is our political reality now. And in our dialogue, a lot of that is, oh yeah, those are white evangelicals. Those are either very conservative kind of fundamentalists, or those are NAR Pentecostals who, Seven Mountains kind of stuff. You say, well, yeah, that's what's going on right now. But not too long ago, 70, 75, 100 years ago, a lot of those foundations about Christians taking over the government and making it a Christian nation, that was happening also in a previous time period, but it wasn't the evangelicals.
That's right. He starts the book with a recounting, if I'm not mistaken, a recounting of January 6th commemoration, January 6th, 2022, kind of a, music on the steps of the Capitol kind of thing. And, if the names were different, you would think it was like Sean Foyt, but it wasn't. It was like, maybe Nancy Pelosi and her crew kind of leading this. And so, yeah. So anyway, that was a really good one. And I think that was the one where in that episode, what I noted about the book was he just has the receipts, like they're all there.
Oh, yeah. and the exact same language that if you're a little bit center left and you're freaking out about stuff that, whether it's Franklin Graham or Sean Foyt or President Trump or someone else is saying about we're going to make Christianity great again. And, all that kind of dialogue, if that's the kind of thing that just kind of makes you gag right now, it's the same language, a lot of the same talk, but it was coming from what we'd call mainlines.
Right. Yeah.
And it's coming from them.
Mid-20th century.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. I was thinking in between some of those answers, we already went through, so these are not the things that you like write about and speak about, which is fine. But I think people might be interested in the kinds of things that you read. So it's like, no, if folks listen to the podcast, then they know that I read the books before the authors come on. You do not. So that's a...
I've read a few of them, but I definitely do not read the majority of them.
Right. So that's the point. Well, that's like a side note, is that's one of the reasons that I love that you edit and produce the show, is because you're coming at the content fresh, which is amazing. What you do spend your time reading, though, I would say, no, I am not reading any of the same kind of stuff you're reading. So I want you to share, if you will, this was not on your pre-list of questions, but what kinds of things do you like reading? And specifically, I would say like kind of faith related things.
Yeah, podcast related topics. Yeah.
I mean, well, but sure, podcast related topics, but I'm more interested in like not podcast related topics, but still in the realm of like Christianity kind of text or religious text.
Maybe. Yeah. And this has probably changed. You know, it's changed over the years what I like, but I've always enjoyed, you know, history.
Say it. That's what I'm waiting
church
for.
History,
yeah, church history. Yeah,
theological history.
Yes, but we're not talking about like, I mean, a lot of people, you're like, oh, church history, like reformers. No, like way, way back.
Yeah.
Like reformers is like too recent for you almost.
Yeah.
Well, say more.
Well, I like, everything from, I read about Persian Empire recently, right? A big, boring text about the Persian Empire. There's, you know, one of my favorite books for navigating this political moment it's a book about Mussolini and the Catholic Church, the Pope and Mussolini, I think is what it's called. But it's about how when Mussolini was rising to power and his fascist organization was kind of taking legs, the back deal partnerships that were being made with the Vatican that were for the most part under wraps, they had kept that secret, that information had been hidden for decades, and then fairly recently a lot of that had been released for the public. But this, you know, this was a book that was detailing, you know, Mussolini, who was definitely not a religious person, converting, kind of doing public conversion things and baptisms and things with their family to show that he was, yeah, a baby Catholic. He was a Catholic who was really aspiring to all the right things, and he was going to bring back purity, and he was going to get rid of the smut in Italy, and he was going to make it a holy nation, and all of these things.
You sounded old when you said smut.
Well, I mean, this was the language, right? This is the language that the Catholic Church at the time in Italy was, they were upset about film and media and all sure. The stuff that was coming
the
in.
Smut.
So, yeah, the smut. And so, but he partnered with them and partnered with the church and promised, you know, so he was going to make Italy a great again, and he was going to bring back the great, you know, Roman, their side of the Roman Empire. And in doing so, the Catholic Church would be brought back to glory and all that. But it was a real interesting history book. It's about religion. It's about politics, about fascism.
You're also reading about totalitarianism. You're also reading, you just finished the Mishnah.
Yeah, I just finished the Mishnah. That was really good.
People don't know what the Mishnah is.
The Mishnah.
Some people know what the Mishnah is. Not everyone knows what the Mishnah is.
Jewish legal commentary on Torah. I think they generally say it's written in the Galilee area for first to second century, right? So it's rabbinic.
Jewish legal commentary on the Torah.
Yeah.
Who is spending their free time reading Jewish legal commentary on the Torah?
Yeah, yeshiva students.
And you.
Yeshiva students and me. My study method may not be approved for, you know, yeshiva, but I like that stuff because I like trying to understand getting around to some of the questions that we ask in our daily lives, faith stuff, but taking it from a different angle. And of course, that's an angle that's been around for 2,000 years, so it's a very well established, but you know, probably most people would be bored by that, I guess, but I like it.
Many would be bored, probably. Many probably would not pick it.
Yeah, I mean, how many times do you have to dip a clay vessel in order to make it ritually pure? And, you know, what's the size of a piece of food that becomes impure? And if it's bigger than this size, how do you decide and all that?
I have a seminary degree and I'm not reading the Mishnah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, now to our daughter's question. I love it because I feel like she's not necessarily a podcast listener. I mean, none of the kids listen to our podcast for sure, but she's not really a podcast listener, but this felt like a podcasty question. So I felt like really proud of her. So this was, tell me about your journey throughout the podcast. Doesn't that feel like a podcasty question?
I'm going to do some, I'm going to lean into some soul searching. I'm going to use, I need some spiritual
You do need some spiritual formation language. Mm. I don't think she's necessarily thinking spiritual journey, but she's talking about your like personal journey through like your work on the podcast.
Well, yeah.
So that's open is what I mean. That feels like a very open-ended question.
Okay, so
you could answer it however you want.
A lot of the reason I do it is because I like you.
Oh, thanks. That's sweet.
And this is something that, you know, it's basically your podcast, and I just help you out, get it out the door. But I like to be able to listen to where, you know, what you're thinking about, what you're reading about. So I very much enjoy doing that. And I think in terms of a journey, it is kind of fun to watch. If you go back to who were the first few guests that we got and what were the terms of getting guests? And the first season is very, very different than the later seasons. And the guests are, they were all very gracious. All of our guests have been very gracious.
Amazing guests.
At a time where
we had
almost no episodes and no listeners and no content and no idea where we were going. We still had guests. We still had people who were like, you know,
we did.
Career people who
were just like, yeah,
they're sure. Willing to come on and take an hour and talk and with no, you know, we didn't pay them with no expectation or anything. It's just, and so even if, you know, we go back to some of the earlier episodes, which I'm like, content wise, I don't know if I wouldn't necessarily pick all that content now, or I might even disagree with some of the content, but the fact that people were just very kind and willing to come on, I think that's fun. And then watching that journey, you know, for both of us, because we talk about a lot of things behind the scenes, but for you, as you've kind of changed, what are you looking for and what are the questions you're asking? You're looking for material that helps you understand a topic better, or that maybe people that are, you know, kind of in the same place in life as you, they might be interested in. And I think it's kind of fun just to watch, you know, who are you listening to now, or what's helping you kind of wrestle with the issues of your day now versus in 2021 or versus in 2019. That's real interesting.
Hey, that was great. I don't have a ton of other questions, but I want to know from you, because this is something that was like, it wasn't like, yeah, we just set out to do this. It was really something that we kind of like stumbled into, and I'm super grateful because we have all of the stuff here to do it. Oh, I know. I missed one. I don't remember if I told you about this. Anyway, we kind of stumbled into it, and it's funny. So we don't have video content right now, but we always record video with the guests, and we record in the same room that we're recording in right now, which is known in our house as the music room.
Yeah.
And one thing that's funny to me is that every time, so this will be like the next to last question because I forgot about this one. Every time someone comes out, so often, not every single time, so often guests will comment about the room that I'm in, because I don't blur the background or use one of the Zoom like artificial backgrounds or something. It's always in here. So we have like the Mastiff will come in and she'll kind of, you know, circle around and stuff usually before she plops down. And then behind is like the rack of your guitars.
There's a bunch of guitars back there,
and everyone is always impressed, and they're always like, oh my goodness, who's the musician? They always ask.
We're all musicians of a different variety. We have different,
see, that's the,
we practice different amounts, and
that's
we have
the
different
kind answer.
Yeah,
that's never my answer. who's the musician? Because they're staring at the guitars. Who's the musician? I'll actually tell you what my answer is. I usually say, this is my, it's my husband. My husband is the musician. He is a hobbyist, usually, because you have gear that people might think you like did paying gigs or something, but you're a hobbyist.
No, that never, I mean, I was always interested, but that never worked out for me. And so I never put in the work or tried to make that happen. So that's just sort of an unfulfilled dream that will never happen.
Someday. But I usually say that you're because I'm like, this is neither one of our day jobs. Like, this is, you know, something that we do for fun. But then I usually say, and the way I tease him is by saying they're all of those guitars there are his, except for the biggest one. And that's mine.
The bass guitar. Yeah.
Because I am the bass player, but I'm not even a bass player compared to how you are a guitarist.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're trying to like, if you're trying to sell out auditoriums or get a record label, then that's a different conversation. But if you're just enjoying playing for whatever reason, and I mean, we used to play for church stuff a lot. We don't do that really anymore, but that used to take up a lot of our time, and we enjoyed that, and used to jam at friends' houses, and that was fun. And so things have changed. We're not, you know, life takes different turns, and so that's not really filling our time anymore, but we still have the gear. We still fiddle around every once in a while.
Yeah, and you do the music for the podcast. And, okay, then we'll have another, like, because I have, you know, we can put links in and everything. Like, you read weird things like the Mishnah and books about Mussolini and the Pope. And you listen to what kind of music, generally? What kinds of music? What are your favorite things? You're not listening to what the kids are making us listen to in the car.
No, I mean, I was... Today I went on a run, and when I run, I need to listen to something with a little bit more intensity.
Right. Yeah. It's not slow jams.
No, you got to have a beat. So today I was listening to Ozzy Osbourne.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne today. Who was it last week?
Lizzie Hale, Hailstorm.
I don't even know that.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah. You know. Megadeth, Iron Maiden.
Oh my goodness.
I like new stuff. I like, you know, but yeah, I like things with loud drums and sometimes screaming. dog barking.
That's not true. Not the dog barking, I don't think. Anyway, Ozzy Osbourne, Megadeth. Who? Lizzie Hale? I don't know who that is.
Hailstorm. You ever listen to Hailstorm? They're good.
Have you met me? No, I don't know what that is.
I was listening to them late. Yeah. But
Hailstorm. No, I don't know who that is. Oh,
yeah. I was trying to get the girls interested in Paramore, but they weren't that.
No.
They didn't end up getting that interested. But they, I like, that's good to run to. Paramore's good to run to.
Yeah, I have a couple of Paramores on my running list.
Yeah.
I make a list. I don't just listen to an album straight through.
But I like metal and progressive stuff and. Yeah, I like. And then we listen to all the pop with the kids in the car.
All the pop.
So we know all the Sabrina Carpenter songs and all that stuff, which is not what I would put on for myself.
Right. But there it is. Anyway. Okay. So now I'm going to wrap up the way that I often wrap up, except. Oh no, I will. I'll do it the way I for the while I had this like one question that I was asking anything and I was like, I'm not going to ask it. Yeah, I am. Because I love it. Okay. What's the question I didn't ask you? Like, what's the thing that you were like, oh man, I wish we could talk about that. And then we just didn't get to it.
All right. So I'll turn it on you because we're 300 episodes in.
Yeah.
And I doubt anyone has listened to all 300 episodes.
You have.
Well, besides me. And so if you were to summarize over 300 episodes, not like season by season or number by number, but if you were to sort of summarize what your kind of current thematic moment is when you're putting something out and you're like, I just hope someone gets something out of this versus several years ago, COVID era versus when we first started. Kind of how might you describe over 300 episodes, what you think, what fly on the wall conversation type things do you think you're hoping people will listen into now? And maybe how has that changed versus a few years ago or even at the very beginning?
Okay, so I think I'm irritated, by the way, because this was supposed to be your question. So maybe you can, I don't know.
Like Jeopardy, you can frame it, phrase it in the form of a question.
So you need to say something to wrap us up after after I'm done here. But I think that the phrase that comes to me, there's phrasing around this theme, which is question asking. Now, pause for a minute, because we're on an interview style podcast. So you're like, yeah, of course there's going to be questions. But sometimes there's an interview style thing, and whether it's on like a, you know, daytime talk show, or it's on the, you know, a radio, you know, a host on a radio show, or it's on a podcast, or even just in conversation with a friend, and someone will say, oh my goodness, that's a really great question. Now, sometimes people mean that. Sometimes it's just filler, because they're just like, they just want to say it, or they're just like waiting until they know, you know, what they're going to say. But I think right now, what I'm hoping, and it's evolved a little, but the main idea has stayed the same, where what I want people to get out of it is for people and who listen to have the desire to, and to actually ask really great questions. So questions of themselves, questions of God, questions of their peer groups, questions of their faith, questions of the texts. Like, what are you reading? And mm-hmm. If you could sit down with the author, what would you ask? And that was because when we started the podcast, I was at a place in my faith where I was just starting to learn that question asking was permissible.
Yeah. Because it's not in every faith tradition or kind of religious culture, that's not always safe space.
That's right. And when I was growing up, even in like youth group and stuff, and people would ask questions like in Sunday school or in youth group, and then there was always the joke on the side where everyone would say, someone would ask a question and they would be like, the answer is Jesus, you know, God. And we'd say, okay, well, you can give the Sunday school answer. And that's what we would say.
Yeah.
Like, you can give the Sunday school answer. And I think what I'm looking for myself, and then what I'm hoping to encourage listeners, is to ask questions maybe that don't even have a Sunday school answer. Or if someone gives a Sunday school answer, like, tell me more, say more, you know, to be curious about these things, to ask the questions that maybe you might feel, or someone may have told you, whether directly or implicitly, that this is not permissible to ask these kinds of questions. I may even change the beginning. I think I heard when you guys were messing with the music the other day that the intro says I'm aiming to ask good questions and to encourage folks to do the same. And I think that's even evolved for me of like, I don't know, what is a good question? You know, maybe it's I'm aiming to ask better questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to ask questions that are more that will lead to more insight, that will lead to more depth, that will lead to more questions, you know, that lead to more curiosity. So I think 300 episodes in, I was just now kind of starting to ask maybe the questions that I'd always wanted to ask. And then now I think question asking has become a habit for me.
Yeah.
And so the kinds of questions that I ask are evolving. And yeah, anyway, so I'm really grateful to my guests who have been just so willing to engage with me. But I think that's it, is I'm like hoping, I'll wrap it up here, like I'm hoping that the content that we provide prompts folks to ask their own questions.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that what you're looking for?
No, that's great. Yeah, that's perfectly good answer.
So what's the question I didn't ask for you? Are you going to give one?
So I think I'll follow up and just give some examples to kind of riff on that idea.
Sure.
Being willing to not just ask a question, but ask unsafe questions. Questions that could actually, looking for the answer or even answering with a possible answer, could undermine the premise by which you are asking.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, so in sort of the, in the joke format, it's like, when did you stop killing baby seals? Right. And there's an assumption behind that. Like, right. you're setting someone up. But I think, and you say, oh, you're, I guess, yesterday, you know, but I think a lot of the times when we ask, whether it's theological questions or questions about how to navigate life, worldview kind of questions, I think we definitely stop short whenever the question or the line of questioning is, could possibly undermine the premise by which we're asking a mm-hmm. question. And I give, you know, give a good example. You ask like, oh, what have you been reading lately? And the book that I just finished most recently was that book by Gary Rendsburg, How the Bible Is Written. He's a scholar in ancient, you know, A&E, ancient Near East studies and Semitic languages. But it's a book about understanding what the literary tone of Torah, especially, but the Tanakh, the Christian Old Testament, what is the literary and stylistic elements? And not in the sense of something is poetry or something is metaphor, but even more fundamentally, when this word or these lines of words are being used, is there, you know, maybe there's a contradiction there, and maybe the contradiction is not something that requires apologetics to sort out. Maybe the contradiction is there because the author was trying to find words that rhyme. Or yeah. trying to put it in a certain meter,
yeah.
Or was invoking some sort of historical tradition, and using this language is actually invoking Sumerian characters, or is the part is in Aramaic, but they're using language that is slang that would come from a northern Israel speaker versus a southern Israel speaker. And so you have contradictions, or you have things in there, but the whole idea being like, we sometimes try to smooth things out in the Bible in order to justify the position that we're hoping to prove. Oh no, this is apologetic, or this is some sort of futurist prophecy, or this whatever. And I think that was a good example. And I had first read of this guy, Gary Rendsburg, from a book that he had done with his PhD advisor, Cyrus Gordon, which was a study through the Torah, but from an archaeological standpoint. Right. And it's certainly, if you get into, you know, biblical studies and stuff like that, and you start asking these questions, you won't necessarily come up with things that Christian tradition, it doesn't all line up, right? It doesn't all match. And so you can ask the question in such a way that validates your assumption to start out with. I'm assuming that Moses wrote this. I'm assuming that the dates given in this chronology are factual. But you could also ask the questions in a way you'd say, well, and like we mentioned with Karen Swallow Pryor, I'm assuming that this is just sort of what a good Christian ethic is. And then she's helping you understand from Victorian literature, actually, this is sort of an imported, you know, it came to the South, but this is an imported Victorian culture thing. This isn't coming from some sort of biblical narrative. This is Victorian ethics. And so these are the kinds of things that I think for me are real interesting. And I think hopefully we get with some of these podcast guests, we get some insights on how some people are doing that in their areas.
I love it. That's it. That's okay. All I had.
All right. Hey. They made it to the end
of this episode, but we have more.
Yeah, that's right.
That we have lots more, actually. We've already recorded quite a bit, but we're going to interrupt the flow to post this one. So happy 300 episodes, babe.
Well, I hope we have another good 300.
Me too.
All right.
The links for all the resources mentioned in today's episode can be found in the show notes. Music and podcast production by Seth Busetti. Be sure to give us a review on iTunes and subscribe at your favorite podcast listening app. You can also visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com.